Shavuot Sameach, Saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Nan with my very best friend and partner in life, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, shalom and happy Shavuot to you all as we continue our study on Pentecost. But first, let us give honor to our Father.
Abba, Father, we do honor you and your name, for your works are awesome. And one day all the earth will worship you when rebellion is no more. Until then, we keep the faith, worry for nothing, enduring any affliction, as we store up our treasures for the great day, knowing you are always with us, moving the rocks to smooth our paths. Lord, bless tonight's listeners. Hear their petition, especially for the salvation of our loved ones, while there is still yet time. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, should we start off with some good news?
Okay, you got any?
Well, we're closer to the rapture today than we were yesterday.
Well, you're right. That is good news. And as well, Israel continues to make good progress in weeding out terrorists and sites from Gaza, but still need the release of the remaining hostages. And Hamas has turned down the latest ceasefire agreement, largely because they want a complete end of the war.
So, just not a pause.
But that would mean Hamas would remain in Gaza, where Israel wants them completely gone. And Israel continues to feed the Gazans by using their three safe humanitarian aid stations distributed by private companies, eliminating Hamas interference. However, it is reported that Hamas are instead just robbing the people returning to their families. And a serious question still remains. What about the other factions in Gaza? You know, like the Islamic Jihad or the Al-Qassam Brigade?
They do all have the same MO.
And have joined Hamas many times, even recently. Israel would have to assure a complete demilitarized Gaza overseen by the IDF. And by the way, Hezbollah keeps trying to reestablish itself in southern Lebanon.
But IDF has eagle eyes.
Yeah, and hitting them with a new, still experimental weapon called the laser iron beam that can easily hit sites and also take out drones, which has already been used, as I said, against Hezbollah a few months ago. So that is a lot cheaper than sending out a missile from the Iron Dome or David's sling.
Knowledge is surely increasing.
Oh, and very quickly, as Daniel 12:4 said it would. And by the way, Egypt has allowed a drone carrying weapons into Gaza, but Israel intercepted it.
So Egypt is getting more involved.
Seems so. And a UN report came out Saturday accusing Iran, believe it or not, of breaching its non-proliferation treaty by increasing its enrichment of uranium yet again, now to 60%, which is extremely close to weapons-grade potential.
What will President Trump do?
Well, I think he still wants Israel to wait and see if any kind of deal can be made. But that would push Trump into making some, I think, big compromises.
So he'll flip-flop from his original stance?
Well, I think he will, because we have scripture as our backdrop.
Right, Ezekiel 38.
Exactly. Iran has to be strong and emboldened. Oh, maybe Israel will make a dent, but Iran will get its nukes. Likely after we're gone, however. Meanwhile, also the Houthis continue to shoot missiles toward Jerusalem as recent as Sunday and yesterday.
Their defense system worked.
Praise the Lord. And Ukraine made an amazing attack by destroying many of Russia's strategic weapons by releasing hidden drones from trucks remotely, proving quite successful. It was a major escalation and a significant blow to Russia. So, therefore, Russia did quickly retaliate.
There was a meeting yesterday with negotiators.
Yes, in Turkey. They did agree to exchange some POWs, but no ceasefire. Russia wants a promise in writing that we will not send any more armory to Ukraine prior to any meeting that Putin himself would attend, with his expectations to result in NATO agreeing not to expand toward Russia, which of course includes Ukraine.
Which is the major reason the war began in the first place.
It is. And many in Congress wants this week to increase Russia's sanctions, even though Trump still says to wait on that, hoping again still to get Putin to the table. While countries in Europe, as in France and Britain, have wanted Zelensky to kick it up a notch. And so they did.
Do they remember Russia has nukes?
Of course they do.
Anyway, it's doubtful more sanctions would really bother them.
Right, since Putin's treaty has made new allies of Russia, Iran, North Korea, and even some in Europe. And, of course, they can just defy the sanctions by doing a workaround. And by that, I mean they can hire independent, private, non-sanctioned tankers to transfer the fossil fuels. Meanwhile, Russia is building up even more forces on its border, as well as making some land progress, just a little at a time. And, of course, that's on Ukraine's eastern side.
And last week, we repledged our commitment to Taiwan.
Yeah, because China has picked up its threats by its increased presence in the Indo-Pacific area. President Trump said he would be talking directly to Xi this week.
And Pakistan plans on visiting us this week.
That's what I heard. And tariffs are still being negotiated with many countries. But now 50% on all steel imports, and their employees will be getting a bonus of $5,000 each. Wow.
Okay, you can send your comments or your end-time questions to Sheila at ShofarMinistry.net or call the office. Be sure to leave your phone number with your detailed message to 440-834-9006. And we will call you back or by regular mail, Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. And yes, we do need your help to stay on the air. Your love offerings are greatly appreciated. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will find our archived newsletters and past radio programs.
And they're all labeled for your convenience.
A short review from last week.
Of course. So this Sunday, Pentecost on the Gregorian calendar, which surprisingly is correct this year, and that's calculated from the day after the Saturday Sabbath during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So this Sunday is it, but the Jews celebrated it last Sunday at sundown through Monday at sundown because they count from the second day of unleavened bread, which is not what Scripture says in Leviticus 23. Anyhow, the Feast of Shavuot, the fourth fulfilled appointment that God made with man, is recorded in Leviticus 23, with three more to go.
The Sabbath has also been fulfilled.
Right. Our day of rest resides inside of us now. All legal rules and regulations from the Old Covenant have also been fulfilled, and freedom now belongs to his bride. And by the way, never allow any legalistic person tell you that you must do this or you must do that. Christians have been set free along with your sin debt has been paid in full.
Now it's all about love.
Mm-hmm. And as a born-again Christian, if you want to abide in him, as he asks us to do in John 8:31, it would behoove you to study his love letter written in blood to you.
And that's just a fact.
For when you love someone as in your engagement or betrothal in Hebrew terms, you want to get as close as you can to know as much as you can about your soon-to-be wedded husband.
And the only way to really get close, even above prayer, is to study his word.
Exactly. Which is why he gave it to us, so we could abide in him. Anyhow, the last three appointments will be fulfilled in some fall season, when the harvest is complete, ready to be gathered in.
Matthew 13 and James 5.
So historically, the first Pentecost, referred to as the Feast of Weeks in Exodus 34, took place when the Hebrews reached Mount Sinai 50 days after fleeing through the Red Sea. Here is when God gave them their new law to follow, which was also their betrothal covenant agreement.
To which they all replied, "We do." Mm-hmm. Exodus 19:8.
It's also the very first time a shofar was blown and recorded in the Torah. Therefore, it took on the common idiomatic phrase of the first shofar.
And the last shofar is blown on Rosh Hashanah.
Yes, which is the anniversary of the creation of the world, but more specifically, the day Adam was created. And Paul tells us will be a future rapture of the righteous.
1 Corinthians 15:51.
But we don't know what day or hour, since it is a two-day celebration. We don't even know for sure what year.
But because of the many signs, we know it's very, very near.
Amen. And there is one more.
The great shofar.
Mm-hmm, which is an idiom for Yom Kippur, and we will be blown when Jesus returns at the end of the tribulation.
So obviously on a Yom Kippur.
Yes, Matthew 24:31. This is when the new elect, which are the tribulation saints and the 144,000 Messianic Jews, are gathered in along with the return to earth bride, now called as wolf in Revelation 19:7, and we go into the Messianic kingdom.
Amen to that.
So, in the Old Testament, Passover was the type of their sins being paid for by the sacrificed sinless lamb, with the Genesis 3 promise of a future coming Messiah. They were considered righteous if they truly believed that a Messiah was coming. Then once he came, one is righteous if you believe that he did indeed come, taking our sins to the grave, and then he resurrected.
As we will do as well.
Soon and very soon we are going to see the King.
Amen.
We'll continue on. So, as recorded in the New Testament, Jesus fulfilled Passover, where sins were all paid for with the Messiah's crucifixion, which is why they could now at Pentecost eat leavened bread.
And they made two loaves.
Yes. God is very detailed, as we've been saying, as he commanded in Leviticus 23:17, that you'd have one loaf for the Jews and one for the Gentiles, because both are covered under the blood of Christ's sacrifice.
Yeah, he died for the whole world.
Yep. It's all done for anyone who chooses to accept it.
You know, it's hard to imagine why so many don't.
I know. But remember, the road is narrow, and few will find it, mostly because they refuse to look at the evidence.
They'd rather listen to the unrighteous.
That's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this week we want to look at some more amazing typology that few students give much thought to. Some obvious patterns that occurred during those 50 days after the Hebrews left Egypt, but before arriving at the mountain.
So, between Passover and the first Pentecost.
Yes, but again, seldom talked about. You know, some years ago I was led to carefully study the passages between the Red Sea crossing, when the Hebrews received the bread.
The manna from heaven that tasted like honey.
Yes, Exodus 16, until Mount Sinai, and compare what Jesus did during that same time frame. Well, we read in Luke 24:30, that he also gave bread to the men he met on the road to Emmaus.
Another great typology.
Again, the details in his word.
Mm-hmm.
And there's more. When Jesus was at the mouth of the Jordan River in Matthew 16, after Peter pronounced that Jesus was the Christ, meaning Messiah, Jesus then said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." And he often said he was the water of life. Well, after the manna was given in Exodus, they were told about the rock that would give them their water of life.
You know, another picture of Jesus to the Hebrews in Exodus.
And like Paul confirmed about the Hebrews in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4.
And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ.
And another picture, which I really love, likely on the day 40 after the Red Sea crossing, Moses led his men in the fight against the Amalekites. Now remember, when Moses held up his arms, they would be winning the fight, but when his arms went down, they would be losing.
So Aaron held Moses' arms up for him.
Well, that lifting up of one's hands is forming God's initial. It's called the Shin in Hebrew. It has the SH sound and is the first letter in Shaddai.
Yeah, it looks like a W in English.
And means Almighty. So in actuality, it was God who won the battle against the evil giants, who were the descendants of the Nephilim.
So how does this connect with Jesus?
Well, in Luke 24, verse 50, also on the 40th day from his resurrection.
So at his ascension.
Yep, Jesus, a picture of Moses, also raised up his hands, making a sheen as he ascended into heaven, as he blessed the people, assuring victory over the enemy.
You know, that's a great typology.
One of many. After all, Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 17, says that in his name we would have power over demons.
So, by raising up our hands, we are displaying the name of God.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that is why in 1 Timothy 2, Paul commands all to lift up holy hands.
Moses lifted up his arms to defeat the demonic enemies.
And Jesus also lifted up his arms on the same anniversary date, giving us the Great Commission and to use the name to fight our enemy. So, for those of you who find yourselves battling the devil, lift up your hands while commanding the demons to leave you alone by using his blood and his name.
Yeshua HaMashiach.
So, this letter called the Shin, my initial as well, as we said, looks like RW and signifies God's name, Shaddai, meaning Almighty. It's also embedded into the landscape of Jerusalem by the three major valleys. He purposely did that.
You know, there's a picture of it on our website.
Yes. And now you can really understand, probably more clearly, why God said to the Hebrews to make sacrifices in the place where I have chosen to put my name.
1 Kings 11:36 and Deuteronomy 16:2.
So again, on the first Pentecost, the Hebrews received their Torah, and in Acts chapter 2, also on Pentecost, Jesus sent his Holy Spirit so we could better understand the Torah and see how Jesus fulfilled the entire law along with dunamis power over our enemy.
We really do have the power over the devil.
All we have to do is use it. Also, according to Deuteronomy 6 verse 8 and other places, God told the Jews to bind his words on their forehead and hand to openly show their love for God. So they placed a small box on their head and arm and bound it with leather straps called tefillin or phylacteries. What is interesting is that they arranged the straps in three lines on their hand, and it looks like a W. But it's their Hebrew letter Shin, as a symbol of his name, also on their doorposts and their hands, with the scriptures of Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. I think you all know it. It begins with, Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one, and et cetera, et cetera. And that was placed inside each box. And then it would go one on the head and one on the arm, leading to the hand. Of course, since Satan is a counterfeiter, this is probably why he will embed his mark in either the hand or the forehead of his followers.
Also, you should read Ezekiel 9, verse 4, Revelation 7, verse 3, Revelation 13, verse 16. Okay, jumping ahead to the 20th century.
Okay. Pentecost also marks the anniversary of the end of the Six-Day War, when God won Jerusalem back from their enemy for the Jews. Another type of the army of Moses' victory over the Amalekites in the same time frame many centuries before.
You know, it's simply amazing.
Oh, and this is really cool. The divided tongues of fire that we read about in Acts chapter 2, remember it landed on the believers?
Yeah, we saw a picture of what that probably looked like.
Yes, it looks just like a flaming sheen. You see, God placed his initial on them as his seal of the Holy Spirit. And one more last nugget.
Okay.
The Jewish people read the Torah more intensely, and still do, during Pentecost, because it commemorates them receiving the law of instructions.
Makes sense.
But another tradition, which began later, is the reading of the Scroll of Ruth.
And why is that?
Besides the fact she was David's great-grandmother, it tells the story of a Gentile falling in love with Israel and the people, who marries the Jewish man Boaz. Now, to us, that's a picture of our marriage to Jesus, the kinsman redeemer, who redeemed back the land for her Jewish mother-in-law.
Like Jesus will soon do as well.
Now, hopefully, God willing, we will do a study in the book of Ruth beginning next week. We'll see.
Lots of typology there.
Oh, yes, and a great picture, especially of how the church is to feel about Israel, too. You know, to embrace and love her, like Ruth did. That is, of course, if we truly love Jesus. As we quote every week, those who love Jerusalem shall prosper. For we are no longer only a Gentile, not only a Gentile, but a born-again believer, with a new name called Christian. And one day, all Israel will be saved. The good book says so. And I believe it, probably at the War of Gog and Magog. And they will enter into Christ's literal kingdom, which will be right here on earth when we return in Revelation 19. And that's confirmed in Romans 11:26 and Galatians 3:28. So this week, read the whole book of Ruth, and try to read it as a family. It'll really bless you. And if we do study it beginning next week, it'll be a lot easier for you to follow along. All right, now it's time to ask you, do you truly have the blood of Jesus flowing through your heart? How well do you know him? Just a little? Is he personal to you in every way? If not, you can invite him in right now or reconfirm your commitment. Get closer to him, because Jesus is our only Savior who has totally paid your debt for your sins. So grab it now, unless you prefer to pay the debt for yourself. Everyone has a free will, so must be your choice alone who you want to serve, good or evil. Till next time, Shalom, Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. Shalom.
thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.